I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I've faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the Voice of Hope.
Thank you, Sharon Singers, for reminding us of the need for repentance and for spiritual renewal. And thank you, my friend, for joining me for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. If this is your first time tuning in to the Voice of Hope, I want you to know that on our previous program, I began teaching from Daniel chapter 9, the prayer of the penitent. You can listen to the first part of this teaching at our website, heraldsofhope.org, or you can request an audio copy. I'll give you our contact information later in the program. Right now, the Voice of Praise Quartet reminds us of our need for a humble spirit.
The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Keep silence. Keep silence.
Thank you, men. The first 19 verses of Daniel chapter 9 record Daniel's prayer of personal and national repentance. I said last time that this text shows us several steps of action that will characterize the prayer of the penitent. The first step of action in the prayer of the penitent was to seek God's face. One of the first actions Daniel took was eliminating those things that would distract him from giving his full attention to God. So he engaged in fasting, he wore sackcloth, and he put ashes on his head. I explained the significance of those things in our previous time of teaching, and I made some application to our lives today. As we continue our study, we'll learn that the next step of action in the prayer of the penitent is to confess your sins. I hope you can stay with me for my teaching. As we resume our study, I will read the text, Daniel chapter 9 and verses 1 to 19. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers, and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges, who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and made yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations, and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. The second step of action in the prayer of the penitent is confess your sins. Daniel is one of the few biblical characters to whom no particular sin is ascribed. And yet, notice, he includes himself with his people by saying, "We have sinned." And I want you to notice with me the progression in verse 5. We have sinned, that is, we have missed the mark. We haven't kept your laws. We've committed serious crimes and offenses against you, Lord. And then he says, we have committed iniquity, that is, we've perverted or twisted your laws. We've acted unjustly toward you. Then Daniel goes on, we have done wickedly. In other words, we've engaged in wicked conduct. This term is often contrasted with righteousness. It speaks of the consequences of sin in the community, of ruptured relationships within God's family. And then finally, Daniel says, we have rebelled. We have steadfastly refused to obey your commandments, and we have pushed aside your laws. We've broken the covenant you've made with us. And even though the prophets spoke to us in your name and warned us, we would not listen. And this was a multi-generational problem. Daniel says, our fathers were the same way. The writer of 2 Chronicles gives us an illustration of this during the time of King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah had sent out messengers throughout the land, urging the people to come to Jerusalem and keep the Passover. Here was the response of some of them. So the runners, or the messengers, passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh as far as Zebulun. But they laughed at them and mocked them. That's 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 10. This disregard for God's word and for the warning of his prophets is the beginning of all moral disorder. Then in verses 7 and 8, Daniel contrasts the righteousness of God and the shame of face that belongs to Israel. What's Daniel talking about, shame of face? Well, do you remember what Adam and Eve did after they sinned? Yes, they hid themselves. Nothing about God had changed, but their sin changed their perspective of who they were and of who God was. They hid from God because they had shame of face. They couldn't meet God's holy gaze because of their sin. They had to avert their eyes in embarrassment. Daniel is confessing that the sin of Israel brought shame to him and his fellow Jews. In contrast to their wickedness, God was still righteous. Furthermore, Israel was disgraced in the eyes of their enemies because of their rebellion against their king. They were scattered across the nations of the then known world because both they and their fathers had rejected God's laws. Confusion, disillusionment, humiliation, and brokenness. That all came to them because of their disobedience. And yet, for all their sinning, God was still the God of mercies and forgivenesses. Interestingly, in verse 9, Daniel speaks to God in the third person. And the word translated here as mercies is different from the word in verse 4. There, it's a word that's often translated as loving kindness. Notice that verse 4 is in the context of God being a faithful, covenant-keeping God, and it is directed primarily toward those who love him and keep his commandments. Here in verse 9, the root of the original word relates to the compassion that a mother has for the child in her womb. The child has done nothing to merit that love. It is freely given without any conditions. Daniel acknowledges this love as the kind of love that provides forgiveness for sin. Another interesting feature of the words mercies and forgivenesses is that they're plural. That indicates to us God's extended and continued exercise of these qualities. This understanding of God's graciousness forms the basis for the rest of Daniel's prayer. This Old Testament picture of God's generous offer of forgiveness reminds me of Paul's words in Romans 5, where he writes this, "But where sin abounds, grace abounds even more." If God isn't merciful and forgiving, then Daniel might as well stop praying. And so should we, I might add. After highlighting God's mercies and forgivenesses, Daniel plunges into a recital of the scope of Israel's sin in verses 10 and 11. He says that Israel has not obeyed the voice of the Lord. They haven't walked according to his laws, as proclaimed by their prophets. They've rejected his instructions on how they were to live. And then, like he did in verse 6, Daniel again stresses that this rejection of God's instructions and their refusing to live by them was a pattern for the people of Israel as a whole. It wasn't just a small minority. They pushed God's instruction aside. They ignored them. So they felt no obligation to obey them. And because of all this, God poured out his judgment upon his people. And yet they refused to repent. You know, we see a similar pattern in the end of the age when people are experiencing the horrors of the Great Tribulation and they refuse to repent. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 11. And that leads us to the next step in the prayer of the penitent, and that step is confess God's righteousness. The proclamation of God's righteousness is a theme Daniel stresses again and again in this prayer. He acknowledges that Israel as a nation has rejected the law God had set before them through the ministry of the prophets. This law was to be embraced by faith. That is, they were to believe God's requirements and his promises and then act upon them. That's what genuine faith is. If we merely give mental or verbal assent to the truth without a corresponding change of lifestyle, then our profession of faith is an empty one. In verses 12 to 14, Daniel lists the evils which God brought on Israel because of their sin and rebellion. Recall that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, God gave Moses a detailed list of conditions that would result in either blessing or cursing for his people. If they obeyed, God would pour out unprecedented blessings on them across the whole spectrum of life. But God also promised that if they disobeyed, he would destroy them and scatter them across the face of the earth. If you take time to read Moses' words there in Deuteronomy chapter 28, you'll soon notice that there's much more written about the curses than written about the blessings. Moses, having dealt with this rebellious people, penned these prophetic, heartbreaking words in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 63, just before Israel was to cross the Jordan. Here's what he wrote. "And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing, and you shall be plucked from off the land which you go to possess." So you see, for God to be righteous, he couldn't ignore Israel's sin. And he cannot and will not ignore the sin among those who profess to know him today. God, in bringing judgment on Israel, confirmed the truth of his word. And his judgment on the spiritual leaders was particularly harsh. They set the example. They prophesied falsely. They led the common people into apostasy and idolatry. And so Jeremiah records God's words against the false prophets. "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." That's Jeremiah 7:1-4. The lying words were the words of the false prophets. They were implying that no harm could come to the temple because it was God's dwelling place. The Jews were proud of their magnificent temple. It was part of their national identity. It was part of their security. So imagine when Nebuchadnezzar's forces smashed and burned it, that was a devastating blow to the national psyche. Not only that, but the people were driven out of the land and scattered across the nations of the world. Amid all this judgment, there was no repentance, no turning to God. How tragic. Notice what Daniel says in verse 14. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. Some other versions say that the Lord watched upon the evil. The idea suggests vigilance or readiness. And it's the same word Jeremiah used in chapter 1 and verses 11 and 12 of his prophecy. He said, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, You have seen well, for I am ready, that is literally watching, to perform my word." Daniel could clearly see from Jeremiah's scrolls that Jehovah was being faithful in keeping his word, both in the promises of blessing and the promises of cursing. And surely that must have encouraged him as he anticipated the end of this captivity. And you know, that understanding of God's faithfulness leads us to the final step in the prayer of the penitent. But we'll have to wait until next time to explore this final step in the prayer of the penitent. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just request it by its title, The Prayer of the Penitent. I'll tell you in a few moments how you can get your copy. But right now, the choir reminds us of our need to submit to the searching gaze of our Heavenly Father.
Lord, thou hast searched and seen me through. Thine eye commands with piercing view my rising and my resting out. My heart and flesh
Thank you, choir. Now remember, you can receive a copy of this complete teaching, The Prayer of the Penitent. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And the easiest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Another option is to go to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to today's teaching at your convenience. Remember, that teaching is titled The Prayer of the Penitent. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page and see various prayer requests or read an encouraging testimony from a listener or a Bible recipient. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to listen to this teaching, The Prayer of the Penitent. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I'll look for you next week here on the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll conclude our study, The Prayer of the Penitent. And until we meet again,
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Listen to your children.